Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Governor Kristi Noem's popularity with South Dakotans has been lagging, at least according to a recent poll, especially among Republican insiders. SDPB's Kevin Wooster writes about the challenges on his blog. On the other hand, you can find it at sdpb.org/Wooster, and he's joining us today from the Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio in SDPB's Black Hills studio. Hey, Kevin, welcome.
Hey, it's great to be here in the studio. China Lockett's taking care of me.
Hey, China.
You're in good shape.
All right.
Somebody in this room knows what she's doing.
And I should clarify my introduction. It was a little confusing. The poll talks about her approval and her disapproval rating. Your blog talks about what some Republican insiders are saying about her popularity or her approval rating. So to be clear about what the poll says and what it doesn't, tell us a little bit about the poll first.
This Morning Consult poll has been around for a while, and it's, you know, something that people check in with to see what major statewide politicians across the country are doing. Thune and Rounds were in the poll, this recent one, and it's been looking at governors back to, as I refer in the blog, comparison between Dennis Dugard, for example, and some of his popularity with state voters how that compares with where Governor Noem is today.
All right, and give us those numbers real quick so people understand what they are.
It doesn't compare very well because Noem is sitting in that one poll at least. And we should always remember that these are snapshots in time and that different things that begin to be going on can affect those very much. But her poll is what I guess they call in the business, she's slightly underwater or slightly upside down with 43% approval, job approval, and 45% disapproval. And if you look back to, and I went back and stole something from Dana Ferguson that she had written a few years back when Dugard did 74% approval and 15% disapproval, which is just amazing. And I think in that poll, he was the leading governor nationally in that. But he ranked pretty high, pretty consistently with some dips. And we shouldn't judge too much on Noem. She's only been in office a little over a year she's had some issues that caused conflict, and I've written previous to this that maybe some of those didn't have to be as controversial or as conflict-oriented as they were, but I think that's an effect here, and I think there's still some leftover feelings about her from the election and some of the advertising and some of that among some Republicans.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that election, because not only was it very close between her and her Democrat challenger, Billy Sutton. But before that, there was a somewhat bloody primary between her and Marty Jackley. So how is some of that advertising, do you see, are you hearing people say that some of that advertising is still in people's minds? Haven't people forgotten it?
I think there are some that don't forget very easily. And those folks are some of those people I have spoken to. And, and I always want to touch on this because I'm always a little uncomfortable. She's our first woman governor, and I think that's a wonderful thing that we finally have a woman governor. And I always have to wonder, is any of this a gender thing? I mean, some resentment that continues towards her because if she's forceful and she's insistent on things and if she's, you know, some of the time that men would be considered powerful and decisive, women are sometimes judged differently. And I don't know if that's a factor here. I hope it isn't, but it could be, you know, at least with some people. But I think beyond that, there is certainly an issue that's left over. Some of the advertising she did in the primary against Marty Noem still rankles some Republican supporters of him. And even some people that ended up voting for her were uncomfortable with it. It was pretty tough stuff. And there was tough stuff in the general election against Billy Sutton, too. And as I say in this column, according to some of the insiders, not just the two that I spoke to, but others, she was losing that race against Billy in the final weeks. And the all hands on Republican deck thing came together, and there was a one big ad that those two that I spoke to recently really think was a turning point for her in that.
Is that the ad where Billy's face morphs into Hillary's face, or is that the Bernie ad?
There were a couple that I think were fairly effective, and whether you liked them or not. And one of them, these two insiders picked the Bernie ad as the one, and they said that just indicators at the time showed that that was really an effective one, where they caught this grainy picture of him, in the Democratic primary between Bernie and Hillary in some meeting somewhere of saying he liked the policies of Bernie, but he would be voting for Hillary. And that was, that like, I liked Bernie's policies was a, that did hurt him with some voters. I think there's no question about that.
Made him sound like a socialist. Yeah. Is how the had, sort of position in the ad.
And when, I mean, when he first announced, and I went down to his, to the ranch down there near Burke, it was shortly after he announced that I saw from Dan Lederman, the Republican Party chair, a statement about what a closet liberal he was or something like that. And I thought, huh? And so they would work, you know, that angle at the end, I think, effectively with that Bernie ad that probably got some voters a little shy, some Republican or even some independent voters, maybe was the decisive point for them.
So that sort of thing seems like something an effective governor could really outrun. Not all of those were her decisions,
yeah.
But you also point out that the first year had some hiccups to it. What are some of those big policy or public relations challenges that Governor Noem has had that people are pointing out are more missed than hit?
Well, I think certainly the medical marijuana thing. I think she showed you in her opposition.
Hemp? Industrial hemp?
I'm sorry,
or,
industrial hemp. Sorry,
yeah.
My bad. The industrial hemp issue, I think she showed opposition to it, but also at times I thought she showed some maybe pettiness, you know, in saying, for example, you here are 300 some questions that were sent to answer.
I want those questions for every bill
yeah.
that come. I want, like, where are the 300 questions that show, or, you know, pick the best 100.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I think people, including me, said, oh, for really? Seriously? And I think those kinds of things, I think she struggled with the staff. I thought, you know, she's had two, chief of staffs. I think she's struggled to define a vision for us as voters, as people. And I think that's especially important to Republican voters and Republican donors. Who are you as a Republican governor, and where are you taking us as a state? And are you taking us into one point of conflict that seems unnecessary another? As I mentioned in it, I think it was really unwise. I think it was unwise probably to give her daughter a job as an advisor on her staff in the governor's office. I think it was unusually unwise to give her a larger pay raise than you might have expected.
And the timing of that was challenging as well, because state employees were not getting a raise, and then, yeah.
The timing was horrible, and if you're going to announce that at the budget, and that's changing now a little bit as we see we might have more money, but if you're going to announce in the budget that, you know, we're probably going to be steady with pay raise for state employees and others, it's tough to have your daughter getting a big bump in salary at that time, a year out of college. It just didn't play well. You know, there were two or three key issues, four or five key issues that I thought maybe she just didn't handle very well. And I think part of that is staffing. And if there was some, you know, unsteadiness or conflicts going on within the staff. And when her last chief of staff left, I have to think that part of that is why is tied to a conflict over how we handle public messaging and how we handle issue approaches and things like that.
Sure. Public messaging, then the meth campaign comes up as another
that
thing she
tough.
Took a lot of heat for.
That
no, she
tough.
Took ownership of that, too. She did not pass the buck on any of these on industrial hemp, and she has shown a lot of strength in saying, I am the governor. This is, I stand by this. You know, you've had your fun making fun of this campaign. Now let's all get behind, let's get behind solving the problem that we have. Does that help her when she, you know, we talked about her being strong. She's been compared several times in the press to Governor Bill Janklow, and the strength of, you know, sort of forcefulness that he had. Can she use that to her advantage?
I like it. I mean, I think she is a strong person. I think she's a fearless person. I think she's a courageous campaigner, and I think she's virtually impossible to intimidate.
We're waiting for the start.
The problem that you have is sometimes, and even Janklow would recognize when something wasn't playing well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have the impression that Janklow was always just this bull in a china shop knocking things over, but there were some things he knew well enough not to knock over, and was able, with certain, you know, with certain exceptions, to maintain a really good relationship with his Republican base. And I think she's still, from the time she's been a leader, a short-term leader in the South Dakota House, through her House, U.S. House career, which is much different than being governor. It's much less directly accountable. I mean, this is such a direct level of accountability when you're the governor and you're doing right. all these things. You can't hide. I think Janklow was more aware of how his statements and how his approaches to people affected his relationship with them. And sometimes it seems like she is almost, and maybe it's part of that, is she feels like there's a gender issue there that she's been unfairly targeted and she's going to push back on it.
She certainly never said that publicly, has she?
No, and I think she says mm-hmm. the opposite.
Yeah, she tends to, I haven't heard everything she said, but every time I have heard, she's downplayed that. And continuing to move forward, who is she as a governor? Where is she taking us? Now that we've heard her second State of the State, the first thing that comes to mind for me is open for business. And I mean, several minutes of the State of the State address were directed toward business and agribusiness. That was a huge thing that she led. You couldn't miss that point, that business, as a governor, she wants economic development and business development.
Yeah, and in that I said, really? Seriously? We have low taxes, we have fiscal conservatism, and we have a reliable workforce. That's been said for 40 years. I mean, that's been our calling card to solicit businesses from out of state. Mm-hmm. I think I want and need something newer, different.
I see.
More innovating than that. Innovative. Obviously, that's who we are. Everybody knows that's who we are. I mean, nobody recruited like Bill Janklow recruited. I mean, he did it personally. He went out of state and met with people. And he was using that very same message that other governors since have all used. I mean, I just wasn't impressed with that. And
I know every time after I heard Governor Dugard speak, I went home and balanced my checkbook again. Because the fiscal responsibility, I mean, he would lay that out.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like I knew exactly, I could recite it. We only have a minute left. Otherwise, I would recite exactly what he used to say about how we make decisions about spending money. He was very clear about that. And you're saying that she maybe doesn't have that clarity yet.
I'm still trying to figure it out. He said running, if I'm going to get rid of the deficit, and he did, and that was painful.
Yeah.
But when he did it, he said, when we get money, we'll help. We'll come back and help teachers. And he did, and that was very difficult. And I would like to see her define some objectives there very clearly, I guess.
All right. I'm hoping, Kevin Wooster, next time we can talk about that bounty tail program, because that's another thing that, she's taken heat from and is really standing by. So perhaps we can cover that later. Thank you so much for being here.
All right.